Hey everyone, it's Megan Segura.
And it's Rachel Roberts.
This is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast. So you have a fun story.
I do have a fun story. I have been going to this one psych class with this one teacher because my friend loves him and it's her favorite one. So she always just tells me when she books a class and I go.
Uh-huh.
So I've kind of met him after class a couple times. And this last time I went, he was like, Rachel, I've been meaning to talk to you. And I was like, oh God, is my form terrible? What's going
on? He's like, you do not belong in spin classes.
right, you can't psych. he was like, I knew I knew you from something, and I just placed it, like, recently. I listened to The Daily Dish from the beginning.
What?
Yeah.
Like, that's so cool.
I know. And he's like, I watch all the Housewives, and, like, yeah.
So, wait, did he recognize you, or he heard your voice and was like, I know that voice?
I don't think he heard my voice, because I didn't really...
You weren't one of those people in spin classes who were like, yes, get it. Come on, girls.
I mean, I am like, woo, when Beyonce comes on or something. But I'm not, no.
Okay.
I'm not like, yes, class, do it.
I'm one of those people.
Oh, God, are you?
Yeah, I like scream in class.
But it was so exciting.
That is
exciting.
It's
the first time anyone's been like,
that's fun.
Are you on The Daily Dish?
You're like, oh, my God, I'm famous.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And in other fitness news, Julie Montague commented on one of my fitness posts.
Girl, what did she say?
She said... I don't know. Let's see. I don't remember. But I was just
praise
so excited.
Hands, praise hands, praise hands.
Probably something like that. Because I was doing yoga, and part of Tone It Up, you post every day.
Uh-huh.
So I posted something about yoga. And
she follows your fitness Instagram.
Yeah, she doesn't follow it, but I think that maybe I hashtagged yoga or something, and obviously her people.
That's crazy.
Isn't that so crazy?
Influencer.
It's not even my Bravo one.
I just thought
Bravo
it was because you worked on Ladies of London.
No, this is just organic.
Organic. Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, she said yes to this heart.
Nice.
Yeah.
Deep.
So I had a lot of Bravo fitness crossover this week.
Awesome.
Yep.
Nicole, do you have any news to share?
Yes, I do. Some big news. Denise Richards is officially joining.
I like how we go from Rachel's weird interactions with people to actual news about Denise Richards.
Actual news. Denise Richards is officially joining the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills cast.
Woo! Yeah, I know you guys were upset we didn't talk about it in last week's episode, but we couldn't.
Right.
Sometimes even when it's like out there and everyone knows, we still can't officially comment.
Right.
I've known for a while now, and Grace had messaged me. You know, you remember Grace, right?
Rachel?
Who? Old Nicole. So she reached out and was like, wait, is this rumor true about Denise? And I was like, I can't tell you.
Dang.
I'm sorry, but once you leave Bravo, you're cut
Damn.
Off.
Right, you're dead to me.
You're not in the family anymore.
It's like the mafia. They really do pull you back in.
Right.
I will say. I'm super excited.
Yes. Too. So is Andy Cohen. He reacted on Twitter, very excited to welcome Denise Richards. This is going to be great. I will say, though, my hope and dream for the season of Beverly Hills is that when Denise does her tagline, Charlie Sheen is in the background.
Oh, you know what? I was hoping you were going to say, some people say I'm, what's a Minnesotan act? Some people say I'm drop dead gorgeous. Oh my
no.
God, it's coming Jersey. What is that?
What accent
is gorgeous?
Were you
drop
to do?
Dead gorgeous.
Girl, I don't know, but it was not that.
How would you say in Minnesota? Drop, now I'm British. I can't do it.
Rachel.
Do you just say drop dead gorgeous regularly if you're from Minnesota?
I think your point being that's a great movie. Everyone should see it.
Yeah. That's my point. Everyone should see it. And I would like her tagline to reflect
that accent.
Minnesota. That accent.
Okay.
You betcha.
You betcha.
All right, some wedding news. Candace Dillard from Potomac is officially married.
Woo, what happened? Suspend becomes husband.
If that wasn't the headline we chose at BravoTV.com, I don't know what we were doing.
The princess is now a queen.
Ooh.
What is suspend? I don't get it.
Soon to be husband.
Oh.
Yeah.
So she got married on Saturday, August 11th in Washington, D.C. She had over 200 guests and a custom-made gown by Karen Sebag.
I haven't seen photos, but I'm curious how lavish the wedding is.
I'm curious. I asked her when she was in the office, or when I was at the reunion, I asked her if she is going to have flowers in the ceiling, and she said no.
Oh, so she did cut down the budget a little bit.
She didn't say that was why, but she said that the hall was already so glamorous.
Right. Okay.
That it didn't need that.
Her husband posted a cute little picture of their rings together.
Aww.
I think that's so cute, though.
Yeah,
that's
I nice. I saw a picture just like that today, but it was of a person and a cat.
Okay.
With the ring on the paw. That.
There goes Megan.
Like, my life.
Her fired up.
So it's funny that that is the exact same post.
Yeah. And for more on Candace's wedding, you can check out a link in the description below. That's all the news I have.
All right, so should we get into this week's programming?
Yes.
Okay, so it was the Real Housewives of New York City finale.
Way to go out with a bang.
I know, because, you know, I don't always love finale episodes. Sometimes I find that it's just like me waiting to get to the reunion, but I loved this finale.
It had the exact amount of humor, drama, glitz,
intrigue.
There mystery.
Was a mystery. And we're going to solve it today.
Okay, so earlier today, I slacked. Can I use the word slack on here?
Yeah, it's 2018, girl.
Okay. I slacked Megan being like, I still don't understand what happened. And you were like, don't worry. We're going to go over it thoroughly.
Right. Because what we're talking about is this whole invitation to the cabaret situation.
Right.
Okay, here are the facts. Dorinda,
sorry, she's such an investigator.
Could we play that Law and Order? Boom, boom, boom.
Oh my God, yes. Can we do the rights to that?
It's NBC.
I love.
Doom, doom.
These are the facts. So Dorinda texted Luann the day of the cabaret performance, and she was like, hey, so I noticed John's not invited. What's happening? Can he come? Luann, understandably a little miffed, because she's like, it's the day of my... It's kind of like when guests text the bride on their wedding day to be like, how do I get to the church again? And right. It's like, are you seriously bothering me about this?
Right.
Ask someone else.
Literally anyone else in the guest
anyone
list.
Anyone else. So I understand why Luann not so happy to get that text message from Dorinda.
And you're missing an important thing on the way to a mammogram.
Oh, right. Which, bad scheduling on Luann's part.
Right. I just liked that additional point. Right.
Imagine it wasn't great news.
Like, no, and then you have to go on and perform.
Yes. Okay. So then Luann's like, you're asking me the day of? No, John can't go. There are no tickets left. So from my understanding, that's sort of where it ended with Dorinda and Luann.
But then Dorinda called her.
Oh, right. And said what?
Then they had like a whole supposedly like scream fest at each other.
Right.
But we unclear what happened.
Right. We don't know where it ended.
No. And we only know really what happened in the text messages.
Yeah.
But at the end of it, Dorinda felt John wasn't invited.
Oh, yeah. She's pissed.
Yes.
Then Tinsley says, oh, well, Luann texted me today and said that Scott is invited. And Dorinda's like, what?
Yes.
But I think we're saving the best for last in that Rachel went to the cabaret.
I got invited the day of as well.
What?
Yes, not by Luann. By Emily Exton, our supervising producer.
You took John's seat.
I may have, though. Now I'm realizing.
Giovanni!
Giovanni!
Thank you, Giovanni!
Giovanni!
But to me, the thing is, okay, so not only was there a seat for Rachel, who, no disrespect, but like,
I haven't known her. In the words of Dorinda, I haven't known her for 15 years.
Exactly.
I mean, I feel like I have. It's been a long journey, Luann, but.
And then she invites Scott, and her whole argument was like, how could you wait till the day of? Of course, I don't have any seats left. But then she's like, oh, wait, so Tinsley, you want to invite Scott?
In defense of Luann, though, it was packed out of control, number
right.
one. And B, me and my guest, Eric, couldn't even sit together.
Oh.
So, like, it was very crazy.
I think the other part of this, I guess the confusion is that at the after party, Luann's, they're saying, oh, Dorinda's upset about this whole invitation thing. And she said, I never said John couldn't come. I mean, I assume she would bring him.
Okay, this is where I think we're missing an important detail.
Okay.
I think that Luann was saying John can't come and have a seat at the table.
Like the main table where all the ladies were sitting.
Right, yeah. Which was like, I was there. It was very much VIP for them. That's where the cast was sitting. No one else sat there.
We see, all that sat around makes sense. Them. But also, that also seems like a duh, because there was no one there but the housewives.
Right, and no one else had a significant other that was there.
Right.
So I don't know where John... I also think it would have been weird for John to sit like somewhere else.
Right.
I think she just wanted the courtesy invite.
Right.
And also the fact that she invited Scott the day of.
It right. It's not adding up.
Well, Luann did admit, yeah, I was being like vindictive at that point.
Right. She said, because Bethany also said in their conversation, and you were also mad about all the other stuff, right?
Right.
And Luann's like, yeah, of course I was. Yeah. But also, I get it. Like, if you want to be invited, maybe contact the person the day before.
Actually, no.
I mean, earlier than the day of.
I would say, if I'm following class with the Countess, you never ask to be invited.
Right.
Ooh.
No, that's real. If you have to ask to be invited,
you're not invited.
To be invited.
But Rachel.
Yes.
We see you in the episode.
I know. And you keep making fun of me for not being excited enough.
No, because here's the thing. It's like, you do look excited in certain shots. But then there's a shot of you toward the end where your body's into it. You're dancing, but the face says, I am completely distracted and like not really into this.
Okay, I just want to say it's because I was so dedicated to this job that I was like making sure all my videos were like on point, that I was like, because I had two phones, I was going back and forth, I was making sure I was getting quotes right, like, because I wrote a piece about it the next day.
Okay, so to confirm, you were into it.
I cannot explain how upset I am that it doesn't look like I'm into this, because not only was it genuinely an amazing show and Luann was hilarious, like everything all the housewives were saying, like, oh my God, this was actually super good. Yes, but then there was like everybody from Broadway, like, which is my personal heaven. So right. It just was like so good.
Yeah. My big question, did you hear, because I, based on where I saw you in the episode, it looks like you were very close to the ladies.
I was very table. Close.
So did you hear Dorinda shouting out, Giovanni! Giovanni!
Okay, this is what I remember. No, but I do remember them all yelling at her like throughout the night. So, but at the time, I didn't know they were beefing. How am I supposed to know that her being like, yeah, Giovanni dresses is like a diss.
Right. And what a diss. Weird. Who am I? What a weird diss at that.
Like, I had no idea it was supposed to be like shade and mean, you know?
Right.
Like, I just thought like, oh, they're just yelling. Because like to me that night, Dorinda was not the person that seemed not happy.
Oh.
And that's all I'll say about
it. Oh, wow.
Yeah. But I will say that, and now that I've watched it, I also see Sonia's dress mishap completely differently. Because as she went up, she was like futzing with the back of it, which I thought like, oh no, it's already coming apart. Like she's trying to fix it.
Now
I know she was taking it off.
Yeah.
So
she knows what she's doing.
Right. And I love at this point, she's just like, yeah, I took my dress off. Like not even an accident. It's what people expect.
So that ended on a good note. Well, not a good note, but like a dramatic note.
Right.
Good season of Roni.
Absolutely.
Well done. A+. But now we have to get to the reunion.
Which the next one was different than the super trailer for the reunion.
Right, we're going to watch it now.
Okay.
Next week on The Real Housewives of New York City Reunion. Obviously, we are missing somebody today.
Luann was very out of it.
She wanted to be here, believe me.
How does a grown woman's poop get on the floor?
It just came running off of me.
You're so full of shit, Andy.
I mean, really, Bethany?
You've been terrible to me.
Don't say a f***ing thing with your fake tits.
Nope.
No, what the hell is wrong with me?
Do you think Dorinda has a drinking problem?
I didn't bash her on the show. Are you kidding me?
If bashing somebody every week on a blog is female empowerment,
that's holding you accountable for the things you said about me on the show.
Hurry up, bitch! That's what I said.
For more on The Real Housewives of New York City, go to bravotv.com.
Okay, I am so happy they kept in Ramona asking to switch couches. Because first of all, it's so Ramona.
Right.
But second of all, it took so long.
Did it?
Yes, because it takes, and I want to say, more than 30 minutes.
To get
less
all the shots,
than 45.
Right?
But just for them to frame everything, to have the makeup artists figure out, oh, you're on this side. Okay, so I'm going to fix your, just, you know, little touch-ups here and there. And then for them to switch, it just added a whole other hour to the situation. It was crazy. But, oh, my God, the reunion, it is so good.
It looks super dark.
Yes. Right.
Were the vibes, like, just, like,
yes.
So...
I told everyone the day after filming, I was like, it was a bloodbath.
Whoa.
Yes.
A bloodbath. Nicole is rolling her eyes.
Because Megan is, she's been talking about this literally since.
I'm so excited that they haven't watered it down, because I saw all the previews that they pull. So we get like a bunch of options for previews for an episode, and then press will sort of pick the three best. And so I saw all six options. So I know basically the big moments that are going to be hit. And it's like in the first part of the reunion, we're getting a lot of Bethany versus everyone else. We're getting them talking about Bobby Zarin's funeral, but like not in a sad way, in a much more dramatic way. Dorinda's drinking. It's just like there was so much. I was like, God, they're packing all of it into the first part.
How many parts are there?
I think three.
God, hope.
That's when you know what's going to be good. When you see more than two, you know stuff is going down.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to watch it. Below Deck Med, super good this week.
Yes. And you know there's a topic I've been feeling really strongly about for a while now. And you're like, save it, Megan. I want you to talk about this, but we need to give it the time and the respect it deserves.
Right, right, right.
And that is to say that this is a, in defense of, people who are, quote unquote, materialistic.
Talk about materialistic.
Because that is a word that's been thrown around about Hannah this season. And actually, after the season, Conrad came in and kind of has been saying that about Hannah as well, that it wouldn't work between them because she's more interested in money.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, what's wrong with that? What is wrong with someone wanting nice things?
I think that everyone's problem is when you prioritize that over the person.
Okay, but here's my question. Why? Who decides what should be
prioritized?
More important?
Not I.
Right? Okay, because this is what people love to say. You can't take your money with you.
Can't take it with you.
But you also can't take people with you.
Mm.
What about Titanic?
Sorry. We all die alone.
Oh. I like to believe that Jack and Rose are together.
Oh my God. So I just think, if someone wants nice, yeah, I agree. Conrad and Hannah should not be together. They have different priorities. But don't shame someone for not having the same priorities as you. It is like that Sex and the City episode, A Woman's Right to Shoes.
Mm. Oh, right.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. It's not, that woman was so upset that she would have to pay $350 for Carrie's Manola Blahniks. That's what Carrie chooses to spend her money on.
Yes.
And she has the right.
And she has the right.
Can I?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You are ready for war.
Yeah. Talk about a bloodbath.
Whoa, she crossed her hands and everything.
No. In this particular instance,
right.
Conrad's defense, not the right
issue.
Word. Issue is, you knew this about me when we even started.
Right. It's more for me about Joao. Why is Joao writing her about this?
Just because I don't want my earrings falling over an edge, I'm materialistic, apparently.
It's a gutter. There's a gutter here. We could. I was being honest.
So you're being materialistic, but there's more to life.
Oh my God, he's such a.
Because they hate each other.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. So it's like, and I wanted to point out when I knew we were going to be talking about this that I think Adam said it best. The reason why Hannah gets so upset is because she knows she's materialistic.
Right.
You don't like to hear the bad thing about you.
Right.
You're aware that you have bad qualities.
I do want us to change the definition of what's bad and what's good.
Right. Materialism, A-okay.
Why not?
Right. You want nice things. You work hard for them, like Hannah said that she did. She's been working since she was 13.
Yes.
14. I don't remember what it was, but that.
This is all assimilation anyway. None of it matters, right?
I think that also, I'm also super down for a woman to be like, I want nice things I can provide for myself, a la Mona.
Yeah.
Bringing up Shaws of Sunset, if we're going to go to that well.
But also, if you're a lady who maybe seeks an older gentleman who will provide her with a nice life, that's her right, too.
This is taking a turn.
Yep. And a man with a rich lady.
Right. If you want that, get it.
Can I get a hell yeah?
So no judgment at all.
Yeah.
It's just like they aren't going to work out.
Right. They aren't going to work out. And that's okay.
And that's okay. Wow.
Conrad.
Men. So yeah, I think you bring up a very good point.
Thank you.
I think Hannah would be very appreciative to have someone out there.
I'll tweet at her.
Yeah. And that's all I have for Below Deck. That's all we have for Below Deck.
But your show.
I mean,
I call it your show. It's really our show. It's the people's show. The Real Housewives of Dallas.
Woo! Yeehaw!
Howdy.
God. Yeah. You like it, Nicole.
I sure don't.
She's not talking about this show. She's talking about
you. The big D.
She's talking about
That's
Dallas.
What we call it, Nicole.
Yeah, that's what the people of Dallas call Dallas.
The big D?
The big D. You're the one that brought up D's earlier.
All right. Please continue.
It premiered this week.
And God bless these ladies. I love it so much. This premiere. Okay. I'll be honest. I've gotten a little further than the premiere. Every episode has left me wanting more. This season's so good.
It ended on a really good note. Because in the next on, they gave you the question, right? Because you were like, Brandy's not going to come. And in the next on, Brandy shows up.
Right.
So you're like, what's going to happen? If you haven't watched, we're talking about Deandra throws her 4th anniversary party.
Yes.
Needed.
I mean, I kind of like her style where she's just like, why not make a big deal out of every anniversary?
I actually have a lot of thoughts about this.
Okay.
Number one, I agree with that totally. If you want to make a big deal out of it, make a big deal out of it. Her mother telling people at the party she would never be happy or find love, I found very harsh.
No one can believe Deandra is so happy married because Deandra had a few experiences to her. Trust me.
Wait, say it again?
She was like, honestly, I didn't think any. We all thought Deandra wasn't going to make it, wasn't going to find love. I was like, whoa. Maybe don't say that at her anniversary party. I was like, whoa, Mama D. So I can't wait to see how that turns out. I wonder what's going to happen when Deandra watches this episode. Because I think it's going to be like a Chris Samuel situation, bringing it back to Potomac, when he found out what his mother was saying about Monique on the side calling her a heifer.
You know, though, I will say it's like as crazy as their relationship is, she's probably heard it all.
That's true.
I mean, they say some pretty terrible things to each other.
Right. In the super tease.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
You're full of shit.
But I'm bearing the lead because I wanted to discuss one thing and one thing only, which is Leanne's amygdala.
I've learned recently that there's a place in your mind called the amygdala.
And if
you are abused or tortured as a child, it grows exponentially.
That's true.
So my amygdala takes any threat and just won't tolerate it.
Right. It's big now.
Apparently it's always been big.
And that's
she's just found this out.
Right.
I wanted to give a shout out to editors because as Leanne is having this mindfulness, clearing out her mind, moment of zen, they flash to my maybe favorite moments of Dallas, but maybe not Leanne's most mindful zen moments.
Is it?
He gets his dick sucked at the Roundup. It's, they're just hands. Yeah, yeah. It's that's her that's... smashing the glass. It's her yelling at Stephanie.
Yeah.
It just like, thank you for bringing that up again, editors.
Yes.
Deandra, skeptical about this amygdala theory.
Right. Well, you know what they say about big amygdalas.
Big amygdalas, big
tempers.
Oh, okay, okay. But that's what Leanne says herself, which brings us to also this Leanne Carrie sit down, maybe the most awkward sit down in Housewives history.
Yeah.
At one point, Leanne can't even speak.
I just like that Carrie's like, I'm going to order my food to go. She was already expecting it to not go well.
I actually think, though, that these two are going to be able to move on.
I agree, actually. I think that they're tired of fighting.
I think so, too. I think they're just like, why are we even doing this anymore? Let's just try to at least be civil around each other, which was something that I don't think they could do in the past. And I thought something was interesting that I don't think we usually see on Housewives, which is Carrie saying, you're right. I totally pretended like everything was fine, and it wasn't, and I kind of just put on a front with you, and I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Which I feel like...
they both took responsibility.
Yes, but if we go to Roni this week, Dorinda being like, I'm not mad at you at all. What are you talking about? Thank you so much, but why did you invite Scott? That's so interesting. The opposite.
I really thought we were going to get a fist fight out of that moment. That was crazy.
Yeah. I thought this was an amazing premiere. I'm so excited for the rest of the season.
Same here.
They go to a place called Beaver Creek. Get excited. That's all I have to say about that.
And a store called Beaver Liquors.
Beaver Liquors? No. No. Beaver Liquors. Emily just got it. Emily just got it.
Am I 10? I still get this.
Liquors?
Liquors.
Beaver? Do you know what beaver is?
It's a euphemism for an vagina.
Animal? Oh. The animal. Yeah.
Oh.
Anyway, we have that to look forward to. And Brandy adopted a baby. That was the other major thing that happened.
Oh, yeah, that little thing.
That little thing. He's so cute. I kind of cried when Stephanie met him for the first time.
That was sweet.
We have a whole, we're not going to see this on the show, but we have a whole exclusive mini-series of Brandy adopting the baby, meeting him for the first time, bringing him home for the first time. We have a link to that in the description.
Let's not fully move on from Dallas because we have an interview with Leanne Locken.
Yes. We'll see how mindful it is. So I am here with Leanne Locken.
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop. So on a scale of 1 to zen, how zen are you today, Leanne?
I am zenning like a villain.
How does a villain zen?
Destroys all of their enemies and celebrates with their allies.
Okay. I love that. Well, who would be your allies this season, would you say?
You know what? I'm really happy to for the audience to find out who my allies are, because the reality is I'm super excited that, you know, my steps that I chose to take worked finally. I mean, it's like, you know, you dig a ditch and you just, you know, someday it'll rain, and it finally rained and now I have a ditch. Yay.
Because when we spoke last season, I really thought you weren't going to come back. I had this feeling that you were done.
I was really exhausted with the social media attacks and the completely unfairness of them all, and just the blatant lies that were put out there by my cast. And it was really, my soul can only take so much torture. And I asked for a few things that I was gratefully given. And because of that, I said, okay, let's try it again.
Okay, good to know. Good to know. So I wanted to talk about the big question we keep getting from everyone, and I'm sure you do too, is are you going to get married this season?
You have to watch to find out. Let's just say there is a wedding planner, there is a church, there is a groom, There is a reception venue. I mean, I don't know what else people need to feel like there's going to be a wedding, but, you know, I got it all.
Have you been getting a lot of fan response about that?
I've had a lot of fans being very excited about it, and I've had a lot of cast telling me that it's never going to happen.
Mm. Yeah. What is that like, having your fellow housewives tell you they don't think the wedding's going to happen?
Well, considering who it's coming from, it's quite disappointing. You know, you think when someone says that they're your friend and they say that they love you, that they would support you unconditionally, because that's kind of what friends should do. But, you know, not everybody knows how to be a friend, and I get it, and I'm okay with it. And, you know, you can't expect the sunshine to be the moon and the moon to be the sunshine. You just got to take people for what they are.
Based on context clues, I'm sensing we're talking about Deandra.
Yes, we're talking about Deandra. Yeah.
So what is, because we do see in the super tease too, you and her kind of facing off. What is going on between you two?
Well, I think you guys by now know what happens if you get in my face and scream at me. I mean, really, it's not going to probably go well for you, right? That's not my fault. It's an obvious reaction. I mean, you poke a bear, what do you think is going to happen? The bear is just going to look at you like, hey, don't worry, man, I'm smoking a joint, we're good. No, the bear's going to bite your freaking head off. I mean, so I'm the bear sitting in a tree with a little jar of honey, and if you poke me, don't blame me for my reaction. Blame your damn self for poking my ass.
I know that later in the season we see Brandy and Deandra getting closer together. Do you think
that
this is
late in the season to see that?
Episode one. Do you attribute that to maybe a change in Deandra?
No, not at all. I think. Listen, here's the deal. I want people to realize. Look at season one. Look at season two. Tell me how characters have changed. Has it been an authentic growth, or has it been a complete change of personality? If it's a complete change of personality, then I want you to question, was it the first season personality that was the real personality, or the second one? Because I don't have multiple personalities. You've seen me authentically be Leanne every season. Y'all know I have made improvements, but I haven't changed who I am. And I'm never going to change who I am. I'm really happy with who I am. And I've worked hard to be better and do better. So when you see personalities do a complete 180, you know, figure out where the other 180 went.
So I'm sensing that you and Brandy not in a good place.
I could care less.
Mm.
The redhead has no effect on my life, and I don't think about her on a daily basis or on a weekly or monthly or yearly.
Well, speaking of moving on, you seem to be able to laugh about the Just Hands moment now.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And I'm not the only one who can laugh about it.
Like who?
I'm just saying, I get texts from a really cute couple that make fun about not knives, just hands.
Are their last names Duber?
Well, wouldn't you love to know that, you nosy little lady? You're just going to have to get the code to my phone to find out.
Yes, you and Carrie had this really come together moment in the first episode.
You know what? If you look back at the first episode of last season, we had a come together moment. I'm going to try to have a come together moment with everyone every season, because that's genuinely and authentically who I am. I don't want to stay in a place of anger and ugly. I want to move to a place of peace and fun. And so, yes, I sit down again with Carrie. And this time around, instead of doing all the things that I've done in the past that didn't work, I bit my tongue and I just let her talk. And for the first time, you'll see Carrie not be the old Carrie. Not just sit there and smile and say, oh, yeah, everything's fine. I'm fine with you. I'm fine with you. And then turn around and be like, what a bitch. You know, so it's nice. My thing is, I have to find a place of authenticity with each person where I have a level that I can communicate with you on that I know is authentic. If I don't think you're authentic, I really look at you like a turd in a punch bowl. I don't have anything I need to do with you, you know?
There's one of those amazing Leanne-isms.
Oh, my Leanne-isms. Just pop on out.
So do you regret anything that had gone on between you and Carrie, particularly anything you said about Mark, or is it kind of like in the past you're moving forward?
So here's the thing about regret. You know, I can't regret what I've said because what I've said has made me who I am today, and it's been a lesson that I've learned. I have apologized to Carrie genuinely and heartfelt, and because we were both able to see that what we were doing wasn't working and we both made a concerted effort to move forward, I'm excited for the audience to see the progress that Carrie and I make. And Carrie's not the only one that I have progressive forward movement with. And that is, honestly, like someone asked me yesterday, you know, what's the one word you could use to describe this season? And it's blessed. It's blessed. I'm blessed that I found out who the fake people were, and I'm blessed that I found out that people were willing to give me a second chance and that there was an opportunity to stand side by side and look at the sunshine and say, okay, let's go forward into the sun and not look back at the hurricane we just came out of.
I spoke to Stephanie earlier this month, and she just had the best things to say about you and your relationship. And I know as a fan of Dallas, that was shocking to me. Yeah. And she really said that she had kind of let Brandy's grudge with you or Carrie's grudge with you affect her relationship with you. And then she realized, you know what? I have actual no skin in the game, kind of.
None. And it, you know, it's I've always said that. I've always said that Stephanie always saw me as a three-headed dragon, something that obviously everyone in the universe knows I'm not. However, she was doing it because she was looking at me through Brandy and Carrie's perspective of me, which I get because she was a close friend. But Stephanie has done a tremendous amount of growing, which is beautiful to see. And I'm so proud to see. Stephanie is becoming her own human. She's not the Stephanie Brandy show. It's the Stephanie show. And I'm loving getting to know Stephanie as an individual. And I think for the first time, Stephanie looked at me through her own eyes and was like, oh, you're not as horrible as a human as I think you are. You're just an injured person who's trying to make her way through life. And it was really nice.
You mentioned the Brandy and Stephanie show. Do you think that her relationship with Brandy kind of holds her back?
Yes. I think that her relationship with Brandy holds her back. And I don't think I'm the only one on the cast who thinks that. I think that Stephanie honors her friendship with Brandy a lot. But I also think that Stephanie, if you look at her, is really trying to grow into this mature, elegant, classy, beautiful woman. And I think Brandy's just really happy where she is. You know, Brandy makes no excuses for who she is, where she is, why she is, or how she is. Brandy's just Brandy, and she likes it. And that's fine for Brandy, but I think Stephanie really wants to have some, you know, movement, and I think she's taking those steps to do that. And it's not stepping away from Brandy. It's just stepping into more of Stephanie owning herself.
Does it ever come, Brandy ever come up with you and Stephanie? I imagine her to be a presence. Or is it awkward, the fact that they're best friends and you two don't get along?
I don't have awkward moments. I have authentic moments. And so, no, I don't discuss Brandy with Stephanie because that would put her in a difficult position. And that's not how I would ever want to have a friendship. I look at this show, I look at this group of women as I want a relationship with each one individually. Now, if individually I can be friends with Cam and friends with Carrie and the three of us can be friends, and then I can be friends with Stephanie and all of us can be friends, then guess what? That's just a bonus for this group. But for me, my relationship with Stephanie is about me and Stephanie. It's not about, hey, Stephanie, can you change how Brandy feels about me? Because that's just manipulation. And I'm not interested in manipulating anybody. I'm interested in living my life and being me and focusing on me. And how they choose to interact with me in my life is their choice.
You sound so zen, Leanne.
I really do. Zen. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know what? I lived in the drama triangle for a real long time. And I don't want to be in that hurricane of hell. I mean, there's a reason they call the Bermuda Triangle a triangle. It's a drama triangle. And, you know, I don't want to be in that triangle anymore. I want to be the observer outside that has an opinion on the triangle. Listen, don't get me wrong. You know I'm going to have an opinion, and I'm not going to hold back my opinion. And you know I'm going to speak my piece when I feel like someone's not being treated fairly or some shit's going down that I don't think is right. However, that doesn't mean that I have to, the second I walk away, do nothing but feel it, think it, and live it for the rest of my day. I'm not interested. I have a real life with real love, and I am in the middle of real stuff that's wonderfully happening in my world. So I'm going to go enjoy that with my friends, and then, you know, when it comes time to deal with this group of women, then let's get together and deal with it again.
Speaking of the real world, I want to go back to you and Rich. Do you want to have your wedding on camera?
Yes. I've always said that I would share it with our audience because I feel like, you know, I've taken them down the journey of watching me get engaged on camera, which, you know, a lot of people were like, you planned that. I'm like, sweetie, that was the one and only time he has ever asked me with a ring was then. I mean, what you saw was the first time that he has ever asked me. That was his real moment and my real moment, and that was our real joy, and I really wanted to share that with our audience. And so, yeah, I'm going to share my wedding with our audience because, you know what? The wedding is a ceremony that I think people should get to enjoy. I mean, I want you to see if I get nervous or, God forbid, I trip in my wedding dress or, you know, my flowers die in my hands as I'm walking down the aisle or lightning strikes me and the whole church burns up, you know. I mean, yeah, I want to share all that.
I have this question. Will Rich have a special wedding day eye patch?
No, I will not bling him a patch, people. Come on now. Everybody, oh, listen, every single one of my friends is like, I'll bling that for you. You want me to put some rhinestones on that patch? And I'm like, y'all, it's not an accessory. Like, losing your vision is not an accessory. It's a tragedy.
A little, like, bedazzled L and R on the eye patch.
No. Why don't I just ask him to walk down the aisle in a thong elephant ear, you know, with the string tee back. No, I let my man be a real man. Because, you know, he's a man who makes his own choices. I don't have to drag him everywhere and tell him what to dress and how to dress and all that. I let him do him.
And
then every night I let him do me.
I love it. I have to ask, we have a mystery of the Super Cheese. You saying that you're the toilet of the group. What did you mean by that?
Girl, that's like asking me what did I mean when I said my panty liner was tired. I don't know.
See, you don't even know what you meant?
Stuff flies out. I don't even remember saying half the stuff I say. People are like, do you remember when you said blah, blah, blah? It's like, I did not say that. And then you see it and you're like, oh, I guess I did. Well, you know, it flew out. I don't know where it came from. I don't know where it went when I was done with it. Like, people are like, they're just hands. I'm like, y'all, you don't understand. That line has moved to New York. It has an apartment. It's living its own life.
Oh, I was going to say, what was it like watching the Super Tease and having that pop out? And I'm sure you've gotten a lot of reaction about it.
Oh, the GIFs are off the chain. You know, I live in a little, that's me and my gifable world. Yay.
And then we were looking at old photos of you and you were a blonde. And I just wanted to know why and when did you make the change?
Okay, so I was blonde for 40 years. Most of my career, I was blonde. And by the way, blondes, number one, are hired out the door before brunettes ever. And number two, do not have more fun. And number three, everybody thinks you're nice and sweet when you're a blonde. I remember being a blonde model, and I would get to set, and then I would say something, and they'd be like, oh, you're so pretty, and then you open your mouth. And I'm like, yeah, I'm fired from that job. So what happened was there's a supermarket called United Supermarkets in Texas, and they came to Dallas, and they were going to do a commercial to launch their chain. And they wanted this Angelina Jolie type character to swing from a vine and all that. And they auditioned every brunette in the city. And I had auditioned, I don't know why I auditioned because I was blonde, but they were like, we want you. We'll pay you to go brunette, shoot the commercial, and then we'll pay you and we'll take you back blonde again. And so I was like, first of all, can it be done? And then when they were like, yeah, I think we can do it. And I was like, okay. So they put me to brown. I shot the commercial. And then I walked into my agency after the commercial. And every agent in my agency was like, oh, my God, you look amazing. You're so striking. You have to keep this. And for like a month, I would walk by the mirror in my front door every time I walked in my house, and I'd be like, God, I look like a bitch. And it was just like, people really think brunettes are just meaner, you know?
Yeah.
So I get it. I get why, you know, some people are like, you're so mean to Stephanie. I'm like, no, she just looks sweet and innocent because she's a blonde. Go back and watch the things she said, people.
Yeah, it's all in the hair color.
Yes, it is, child. I'm going to start a wig company and just start wearing wigs.
Oh, my God, please.
I'll be like NeNe. Instead of saying goodnight, wig, I'll be like, good morning, wig.
I love it. Please do. And let us know about it. I just have one last question before you leave, which is, who is the Queen Bee of Dallas?
Well, that would be Beyonce when she comes to town to give a performance, people. I don't know who else the Queen Bee would be. I mean, there's only one Queen Bee that I know of, and that's Beyonce. And honey, I'm not fighting her, and I don't think anybody else should for that title.
That was the best answer I could have hoped for. Thank you for bringing Beyonce into this podcast.
there's a lot of people who think that they be the Queen Bee. But child, while your ass may be that wide, your personality ain't.
Oh, man. Thank you so much for your time. I'm so excited about this season. It looks amazing.
Good. I'm coming to New York Fashion Week, so I hope I see you.
Oh, my God. Yes, absolutely. Please come in. We'd love to have you on again.
You got it, sweetie. Thank you.
Leanne, I don't even know how to put into words how much I thank you for that. But that's not all who we talked to. We talked to Joao, and if you're wondering if him and Brooke are still a thing, he gave us an answer that I don't think we were expecting.
Basically, he doesn't know either.
Right.
So, here's that. Everyone, we are here with Joao from Below Deck Med. Welcome.
Thank you. You said my name right.
Oh, you did? Okay.
We were very nervous.
A lot in front of the mirror.
Thank you.
Let's start off on a light note, I think. Can you explain this photo to us?
I can. It's myself holding a snake.
Caressing a snake while shirtless in bed.
Yeah. Okay. Explanation.
Yeah,
Basically, my mom had a small lake house, and it was pretty wild, and a lot of the locals would kill and burn the snakes because they are very superstitious. You know, they have their superstitions on pythons. So I would I made a friend who would kind of rescue them for me, and then I'd go out and pick them up and then bring them back to health, actually, and then I would set them free into a national park afterwards.
So, I think I'm in love with you now.
Yeah, that was saving like snakes.
The sweetest possible explanation of this photo. Yeah.
I didn't actually think that this photo would come up, and it's been quite the talk. So.
Yeah.
Well, they all a snake. How ironic. I mean, thanks, guys.
Well, I think they used it when they were like, you were talking about your ex-girlfriend's cheating, and then it was like you and a snake. Yeah. You're like, what is happening here?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's true.
Is his ex a snake?
I didn't see the irony until someone pointed it out. I was like, oh, God. Yeah.
I wanted to ask about your alter ego that comes out when you drink.
Yes.
What's his name?
Jezebob.
Jezebob.
Yeah. No longer, though.
No, really?
He's gone.
He's gone.
Oh,
don't say it. It's not a bad thing. I promise. Before the show, it would only happen every once in a while, but not in a big way. And I think after it came out the first night of going out, I felt like, you know, that was a part of who I was and who I would portray myself to be. I let it carry on, and then it became a part of it. You know, is Jezebob coming out tonight, and what's going on? And, you know, you're lucky Jezebob wasn't here to fix this. And I'm like, you know. But, you know, straight after the show, I'd left. It never happened. And then in seeing how I was, because I've never seen myself like that, it will never happen again.
Yeah.
Life lesson.
So it's like seeing yourself.
Oh,
how has that been?
It's been an eye-opener. It's definitely made me realize parts of who I was that I needed to change. Yeah.
Do you regret any of it looking
definitely.
Now?
I definitely regret it. It depends, because had I not done it, I'd never have known. And in having done it, I know what I needed to change, and I can definitely say that I've learned a lot and changed from it. Yeah.
Even though you've had those, oh God, moments watching back.
It's like every second moment. Oh God.
Would you do it again?
You know what? I would. Again, I'm not that same person. I very strongly believe so. And I have, you know, witnesses and evidence that I'm not. I'm grateful to have gone through it to figure out, you know, things I needed to. And I believe everyone needs to go through something like that because, I mean, not everyone may learn from it, but those that have, you know, potential to be better will learn. And, you know, I'm learning so much about myself, and the extra pressure of millions of people watching makes it more permanent, you know. I can relive these moments and be like, you know, I'd never want to be that person again. So, yeah.
How has the response been from those millions of people?
Media-wise, it hasn't been great. I think, you know, in terms of everyone seeing just the tip of the iceberg and not seeing where the story is actually stemmed from, they don't get to see the deeper or more, you know, more, I don't know, sensitive side of me, I'd say. Brooke sees it. You know, people on the show, you know, kind of warm up to me slowly. And I think that's happening with media as well. It's because I've been so closed up and hard-headed and, you know, didn't look past my nose during, you know, the show. It was all about me and how I am. And I never got to understand or meet the real people on the show, you know. So people are slowly starting to warm up. They also understand that, you know, it is just the tip of the iceberg. It's been interesting.
Well, you said that the people aren't getting to see, like, they're just seeing a little bit of it. So if you're looking back at what happened with Hannah or with Conrad, is there anything you wish you could explain to fans?
I think the biggest thing is that it does stem from somewhere. It doesn't just start up from, you know, okay, right, we've got a problem. Myself and Conrad do get along and don't get along throughout the whole season. So, you know, there's a lot of acknowledgement on both of our parts saying, you know, you actually did a good job and well done. And, you know, throughout my interviews, they'll be like, Sandy said this about Conrad, or, you know, and I'll be like, well, it wasn't that way. Actually, Conrad was right. So there are, you know, good aspects that, you know, there's a lot that we went through. But at the end of the day, it's the most intense parts that everyone gets to see. But there's just always more to it, you know.
Conrad said that you guys are, like, in a good place now.
Absolutely. I, after seeing, you know, especially the part where, you know, Conrad, you know, expresses himself about his dad and stuff, I realized that there was more for me to relate to everyone else than I thought there was. And, you know, again, in taking a step back and realizing it's not all just about me and, you know, what I'm trying to do, seeing that he's gone through something as well, although our depths or our stories are different, I regret not getting to know people better. And I sympathize with him, you know, and I can relate with him. And I'm regretful that I didn't get to understand people and understand where they've come from, because we've all gone through something. So I apologized to him. I sent him a message and I just said, you know, I'd really like to apologize in person and just make, you know, make amends to. And he was very respectful for it, and he said, I'll take my hat off to you. He said, you're getting a lot of stuff on media and I couldn't deal with it. And I said, you know, at the end of the day, what the more negative media I get, the more I know how I need to change as a person. So yeah.
What about you and Hannah? Where are you at now?
Hannah and I don't talk. I think as much as I have had to realize, you know, what I've needed to change, I believe that she still needs to realize. It is a part of, you know, just it is my opinion, and it's not, you know, I can't enforce anything and I won't, you know. We are different and we're also the same. I'd like to say a lot of who I was the same of her, but I've managed to kind of fix those issues that I've had. I'm not perfect yet, and I don't think I will be, but, you know, it's taken a lot for me to, it hasn't taken a lot. It's taken the sudden realize to see that I'm losing out on what's important in life. Mm. Yeah.
Well, a question that you've been asked all season and still in our minds, Brooke. Casey?
Yes.
You know, I didn't get to know either of them on the show. For me, I was just trying to be lighthearted and joke and, you know, smirk around and you know, it takes a lot for people to understand me to start off with, because, you know, again, coming from where I've come from to Europe, for example, we are very different. And we're at home, we're very honest with each other. We're very straightforward and we joke around and, you know, we call each other names and it's all in a laughing matter. I think people are more sensitive this side and they take it to heart. So I didn't realize or intend to kind of lure them into this apparent game that I'm playing. You know, I thought I was doing a lighthearted thing. In seeing what's happened, you know, throughout, I do see where they come from as well, you know, and that's also something I've changed. It's not a joke and it's not funny. I just, after being with Brooke, I didn't realize that Casey liked me in a deeper way, and I regret that, and I've apologized to her too.
Oh, you apologized since the show?
Absolutely. Yeah.
How was her reception to that?
Yeah, she accepted as well. I think all of us had parts of us that we needed to realize, and that's, you know, in doing it, we've realized. And some people have, some people haven't, and some people choose to take what they want and learn from it, and some people don't. So, you know, guess where I'm from? I'm from Zimbabwe, but you know, I've come from a place. And I say it all the time, it's not nice, you know, to have grown up with the issues I've had, but at the same time, it's been an amazing experience to grow with the positives of the country. And I think the biggest issue for me, and I say this with I've never had a role model, I think, and that's the biggest thing. I've always been a solid and stern and hard and positive person for everyone else. I haven't taken a second to look at who I am. And the people who see the positive side of me respect it and ignore the negative. And I needed to see this to understand the negative, because, you know, if I'm not taught or if I'm not shown, I'll never know. I could have never done the show, and I could have been blissfully ignorant at who I was, and I would have been a happy, egotistic prick, you know. and that's just, you know, I'm glad that I've gone through it to learn. Yeah.
You said that you kind of realized watching the show that Casey liked you so much. Is that you really didn't know until watching?
No. I didn't know at all. I didn't know Brooke liked me, and I didn't know Casey liked me in more than just a temporary thing. You know, getting to know, when I left the show with Brooke, we didn't know each other at all, and it was very, very hard. We knew the potential in each other. I didn't know a single thing about her, to be honest, and I spoke so much about myself, and again, couldn't see past my nose, that I didn't allow myself to get to know her. So coming off the show and getting to spend some time with her, even going back to Zimbabwe, she came and we had an amazing experience.
No way.
Yeah, I mean, we did everything possible and she loved it, but we also had, you know, an insecure feeling about each other still. And it was up to the airport where it was make or break. And I almost didn't get on the plane and she almost left. We went and spent Christmas with her family, and, you know, we separated for a couple of weeks, and, you know, got back to trying to figure ourselves out. And it was only up until maybe 6 months after we were together that we realized we actually, you know, the shells are off and everything's, and we love each other. And
so you guys are together
today?
The problem is she's very sensitive. The show has played a major impact, not just on me and how I've acted, because she was there throughout the show. You know, she does understand that. She does understand that she's going to give me a whole lot of hell every week, each episode that comes up.
Oh, that must suck.
It does. But I've stood for it and I've stuck up and I've waited, because I know that we are right. And it sounds, you know, cliche and stuff, but I can see the potential still in both of us. We're just waiting for the show to blow over and then see, you know, start afresh. I think the media, not just who I am, but the media and people saying, you know, she needs to be independent, and it's absolutely rubbish, because she is the most independent girl I've ever met. She doesn't need a guy in her life, and there's no doubt about that. And she doesn't need me at all. But there are times where we need each other. So, yeah, I left Europe. I left my job. I left everything to try and work things out. And yeah, got to her. Just quite confusing in the beginning. And then, you know, we both opened up to each other a little bit more. And we've decided that, you know, once the show blows over, we'll see where we are.
Brooke, if you're listening, he's changed. Yeah. Okay? Take it from us. We've known him 2 minutes. Yeah,
that's, I mean, I think the biggest thing for me, and I walk off, you know, with the most life-changing thing to me, and that's her. And she made me realize more of the person I needed to be. And whether we do or do not work out at the end, I'm grateful, and I will always love her for what she's done for me as well. Yeah.
Oh my God, my heart is like exploding. This
it's
is
like a
so
full,
cute.
Full Tarzan and Jane story, isn't it?
I want to talk about what it's like, you know, being with someone and seeing them get some backlash from people.
Yeah, I want to find all of them. Oh my God. I do. I want to rock up to their doors and say it again. Come on, say it again. I dare you. You
right.
know, I feel it's so. I'm my family come first, and I very strongly feel that Brooke is part of my family now. And the things that they say, and I know she's not like that. You know, it's also a really really strange thing because she'll get a million good and positives, and she'll get one negative and she harps on it. And she's just a sensitive girl, you know. In actually meeting people, I've gone to Fort Lauderdale now and you know, New York, people can actually see who you are. And it makes a big difference. I mean, I've been told, you're annoyingly nice. You've changed the whole show for me now. I'm like, yes, another score, you know. But like a lot of people see the undermining story, and they you know, they interpret their own view of the show. And I mean, it is a show. We all sign up for it, and I'm grateful that they show my worst parts, because if they showed my good parts, what would I have to learn? I'd probably be worse, you know. So yeah.
Andy Cohen always gives this advice to Bravo Lebs, which is don't look online.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, I think myself and Brooke have deleted Twitter, and
good.
The thing is, everyone's like, "Oh, well, you're a coward. You can't stand up." I mean, what do I have to stand up for? I know who I am. Brooke knows who she is. You know,
absolutely.
I mean, I can't believe she'd written a poem about Twitter, and she'd posted it on the other media. You know, she got a lot of good, and then there are a couple of people who just that's all they want to do.
Right.
And it's sad because that's a society we live in. You know, I think a lot of us, I would say, more known people throughout media get a lot of backlash from lesser known people, because that's the only way they can make an impact on someone. And unfortunately, an impact is always negative. Well, it's more expressive in a negative way, you know. So I've got Twitter because of it, and I thought it would be a good idea. It was not, you know. I could happily live, you know, in a tent next to a river, and I'd be fine. Yeah.
So let's say you and Brooke get married.
Yes.
Will Sandy be officiating?
Yeah, of course. I mean, yeah, she, again, that's the thing with the show and stuff. I think Sandy, there were parts where I noticed Sandy watching all of us, and all of us were working. There are parts where she watches Hannah and Conrad, and they're not working, and that's what you'll see. You won't see, you know, she's a very respectable captain. And a big, big difference that I need to make clear is that although she's a female, it makes it a better thing, because she's more understanding. And she does take more of the issues to heart, where I've had stern captains that have been like, nah, sorry, don't want to hear you, you know, get back to your job. And yeah, it can work, it can't, but she was very understanding throughout.
Well, I have to say, despite all the haters, she has been your fan since day one.
But again, I think she knows who I am, you know, and she could see through. She didn't see, obviously, and I hate that she got backlash in not seeing what I was doing outside of the show. Outside of the work environment. There were times when we sat down and she's like, oh, so Jezebob, and it was a joke. As a leader, in my eyes, I've recently been on as a bosun on a much bigger boat, and you know, all the crew, we respect each other, we worked really well with each other, and because I've learned a lot, I understood how to be more of a manager. I think, you know, between Conrad and Hannah, if it was a big deal like it was, because I didn't realize how big a deal was, they should have approached Sandy, and they should have spoken to her about the issue it was. And I guarantee Sandy would have spoken to me about it, and it wouldn't have happened again.
Absolutely.
You know, because I didn't know. So every time I wake up, I'm like, what did I do? You know, and everyone's like, well, you did this and that. I'm like, oh, it's not so bad, you know. I mean, when I called Hannah a goat, it's because I was calling myself a goat before that because I laugh like a goat. So I'm like, oh, you also laugh like a goat. And everyone's like, you just called her a goat, you know. So, yeah, it's funny. It's been interesting to watch. Yeah.
Well, that's all I have. I'm so happy we got to meet you and to you. And Brooke, I hope you're listening.
I know, and good luck. Oh my God.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you. Wow. I love you even more now for your love of all animals, including snakes.
Right. We asked about the snake picture, of course, at the top of our interview, as you just heard, and we all melted in the room, and then from then on we were just like putty in Joao's hands.
Exactly. It's time for Rose and Thorn. Woo!
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay, Rachel, what's your rose?
So I had kind of two. One was just gonna be Mama D's dynasty outfit at Deandra's party. It was
right.
Just so
Dallas.
I there are no words for it. But then I don't know if you caught this in Below Deck Mediterranean this week, but as they're like starting one of the dinners, they're like, yeah, my dad went around. He was an exorcist. And like, and I was like, let's focus on that. What's happening here? It's going to get weirder next week, I think, because he's going to that stick thing that's happening.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. It just was weird. And I was into it. I needed to know more.
OK. I would say my rose is from Southern Charm Savannah. Because we find out that Lyle does know Catherine cheats on him. Has cheated on him? Unclear. But basically, he's not unaware.
Look, those things you're saying don't matter to me.
What?
Catherine can hook up with anybody she wants to.
Okay, so you are okay with it?
Catherine can do whatever she wants to do.
Do you understand how that makes you look?
You think I give a shit, Daniel?
And that's your rose?
It's my rose because I've been so curious. Like, and we've all been wondering, and his friends have really been walking on eggshells about it. So now we know. Okay, Lyle knows. So we can talk about it.
Right. Now they also, like, I feel like Louis this whole season has been like, how can I don't know how to be your friend when I see you get walked all over.
Right.
But now he doesn't have to worry about that.
Right.
Which I think is interesting. Your thorn.
My thorn is from Shaws of Sunset, and it is Mona's jumpsuit. What the what, Mona? How did you not look into a full-length mirror before walking out of the house to see, oh, yeah, you can see every inch of my vagina?
Maybe that's the look she was going for.
What are those things called? Cucinas or something?
Yeah, cucinas.
Yeah, they make them for a reason.
What are cucinas?
They make you not have a camel toe.
Hmm. Okay.
I'll just let you imagine what that is.
I'll do my Googles later.
or you could be like Sonia and wear a pad.
Yes, a panty liner.
A panty liner, right. Sorry. There were many options is what we're saying.
I feel like a pad would have the opposite effect.
In that vein, maybe I had other thorns, but maybe, or my, I don't even know if this would be my rose. Them just blatantly being like, I mean, you kind of have incest vibes with your brother. Could you imagine saying that to someone?
They like
straight
so
up
direct.
Tell her.
They were
so,
so
direct.
But that's what I love about Shaws is they are not afraid to just unmercilessly, what's the word?
Be truthful?
Unmercilessly haze new people.
Like, literally at one point, I forget if it was Gigi or MJ, like, yeah, maybe you got out of the shower one time and, like, he was into it. Like,
but I even felt like when people asked them, they weren't grossed out enough. They're like, oh, you're going to make me vomit. It's like, see, I don't believe you.
All right. Moving on. My other thorn, I guess, of the episode was just Vita.
Yeah.
She just made me really sad because we had all been so happy, I think, as a Shaw's
family.
Viewers, family,
yeah.
As Shaw's. No. That she had accepted Tommy, and now to hear that she doesn't was when she's announcing her wedding date was just very upsetting.
Just because I like him doesn't mean I like him for you.
Literally that morning, or like whatever it was, they were talking about wedding songs
but
and stuff.
But that doctor was amazing.
Because my God.
I have never seen a doctor be able to navigate such weird family dynamics before. For a grandmother to be to say, can we just hold off on making the baby? And him to be like, you know what? We're just going to be supportive right now of MJ because that's what she needs.
I was like, I don't know if he's done this before, maybe. But like, I was in awe of him.
Yeah.
Great.
But we want to know what your roses and thorns are.
Yes.
Tweet us at Bravo TV using the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Meg Segura.
You can find me on Twitter at Rachie Robb and me on Instagram at Suspiciously Small.
And you can find me at...
Wait, someone just asked me about this. They're like, why does she beep it? So can you explain?
Oh, I just don't want people... I don't know. I just...
You don't like private people.
Right. I'm kind of private. Right, and also, right. You know, I don't want...
Like, she only uses Raya. She only uses...
She only just started letting me follow her.
Yeah. Right. And we've been working together for a year. So, you know.
Yeah.
It's you know, I like to take it slow with my relationships.
I get it.
Yeah. And I just, like, joined here. So, you know. Gotta work a bit to follow me.
So, yeah, unlike me and Megan, who are desperate for your love.
We're social Nicole, media whores.
Right, Nicole could not be bothered. So, yeah. Yay, bye.
Bye.
With the boys at the table getting tipsy, Miss Meek.